Whew. All right, guys, I am going to ask, if you have a Bible, open it up with me to Galatians. We're going to read the last verse in chapter 5, and we're going to read the first 5 verses of chapter 6. That is it this morning, okay? Shocker, I have a 2-point sermon, not a 3-point, okay? There you go. There you go. Don't say that I'm formulaic, all right? So that's going to be awesome. So we're also going to ask that you grab a bulletin of one form or another. If you didn't get one of these when you came in, this is the old school way to do it. It's fill in the blank. Take notes. We have a digital version, same way you scan that QR code for offering. If you'll scan that, open up the camera app on your phone, it'll take you to our digital notes. Guys, wholeheartedly, they're my favorite. They got spell check, those kind of things. I get to save them. I can email myself. It's really, really cool. And it's the same software that we use with our weekly devotions. If you didn't know that we do that, we do weekly devotions every week based on the sermon. So if you're like, I'm just looking, like I want to study the Bible a little more. I want to take church with me. We have a thing called Digging Deeper, and you can find that on our website, on our event page. But every week, based on the sermon, we put together devotions, not just from the text, other places in the Bible that you can study to take that message deeper. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. We're going to do a little bit of recap for those of you that are just joining us this morning, talk about what the book of Galatians is all about, and then we're going to jump in together. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather this morning. Holy Spirit, we want to pause and recognize our need for you. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You are our guide. The Spirit of God living within us, and we just cry out this morning that we need you. We need you to fill our minds. We need you to fill our hearts. We need you to teach us about Jesus from the inside out. We need you to teach us how the good news about Jesus is supposed to change us. God, I pray today specifically for security, that you would help us become secure in God's love for us, and that security would change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, guys, we've been walking through this book of Galatians, written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was a church planter. He was an evangelist. He went out on missionary journeys, and he started new churches. He shared the gospel, and he was specifically called to go to Gentiles. Now, when you hear that word, that just means non-Jewish people. So he went to most people that day would consider pagan religions. They didn't worship the one true God. And he told them all about Jesus. He told them how Jesus was the Son of God, how he was born of a virgin, how he died on a cross for their sins. And when they came to faith in Christ, he would start a new church. So this letter to the Galatians is actually to all of the churches in the region of Galatia that he started, and they are being persecuted by a group of people known as the Judaizers. Now, we call them the Judaizers because, basically, these were Jewish, quote-unquote, Christians. I would argue they weren't saved, but they considered themselves saved. They said that they believed in Jesus, but also, that really to be saved, you had to basically convert to Judaism. You had to be circumcised if you were a male. You had to follow all of the Jewish laws and customs. You had to attend all the special festivals and those kind of things. So listen, they're saying, hey, if you really, Paul didn't preach you the whole gospel. If you really want to be a child of God, if you want Abraham to be your father, you've got to do these things. To which Paul comes in, and the whole point of the letter is, no, that's not the gospel. Guys, the word gospel means good news. And Paul's point is simply this, that if our standing with God, if our relationship with God is based upon anything that we're responsible for, you can't call that good because we're going to fail, okay? That's really bad news is what it is. So it's not the gospel. So that's the heart of it. So guys, last week we talked about this truth that if we put our faith and trust in Christ, if we've believed in the gospel, then now we have two natures in us kind of at war, right? We have this new nature. We've been born again. We're children of God. But then while the Bible says we're a new creation, we struggle and we fail at times. And a lot of times we wonder why. Well, it's because that new nature lives in this same old flesh. And the Bible's really clear. And when we got into Galatians 5, we heard that there's flesh at work in us and there's spirit at work in us. And the spirit opposes the flesh. The flesh opposes the spirit. And for some of us, a light bulb went on and we go, oh my gosh, wait, that's what's going on in me? I'm not completely broken. You mean other people struggle with this? And we're like, yeah, kind of we all do, okay? So we talked about that. We talked about the fact that the flesh over-desires whatever it kind of puts its mind and heart on. It over-desires that because it has this deep lack of trust in God's goodness and provision. Right? So the flesh wants to provide it on its own. So it'll set its sight on, say, hey, you need to be financially secure. And so the flesh just sets its sight on, well, I've got to get a promotion. I've got to work hard. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And then we get that promotion and we're still empty, right? Because the flesh never really fulfills. And then finally, guys, we talked about as we learn to trust in Christ and abide in Christ, the Holy Spirit produces spiritual fruit in us. And that fruit is a sign, it's proof that we really are children of God. So that's where we left off, y'all. So we're going to pick up in the exact verse that we left off in, chapter 5, verse 26. The Word of God says this, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another." Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. It says, carry one another's burdens in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. There's two things I want to share with you this morning. And here's the first. I want you to know that the security that the gospel brings is meant to transform every relationship and interaction in our lives. Okay? The security that the gospel brings is meant to transform every relationship and interaction in our lives. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, is how the gospel affects our relationships, right? So when I understand the gospel, when I become secure in the gospel, man, it transforms every relationship and interaction that I have. So a couple of weeks ago, we studied these verses in chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Paul wrote, "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love, for the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself." And when we studied that passage, we kind of made this point. We said, listen, the gospel frees us to live a life of gratitude where we are so secure in God's love for us. We're so secure in God's finished work, of Christ's work on our behalf, that the love of God, the forgiveness of God, now just naturally flows out of us, right? That's what he's saying. He serve one another in love. The greatest command is this, just love one another. Like, love your neighbor as yourself. And the point that Paul's making is when you understand the gospel, when you really get it, it's just naturally the love of God, the forgiveness of God, when you're secure in what he has done for you, it should just naturally pour out of you to other people. So I want to revisit that for a second this morning. And I want to talk specifically about how the gospel drives out our insecurity, okay? How it drives out our insecurity. So let's start with this fact. If we don't believe the gospel, we are 100% insecure in our relationship with God, okay? So I'm just going to start there. Listen, I love you, but we're going to start there. If my relationship with God, if my standing with God, if God's acceptance of me is in any way based upon my performance, any way based upon my work, any way based upon something that I have to do, then I am completely insecure at all times because I'm never sure if I'm good enough or if I'm done enough to please him. You following me? And so listen, when that is how I feel in life, when I'm going through life and I'm trying to be good enough, but I always fail, so I kind of feel like a failure. Y'all, I'm constantly on edge. Right? I'm constantly wondering, there's an anxiety within me. Have I done enough? Was I too bad today? Will God love me? Will he forgive me? So I'm constantly on edge. And part of that is then I'm going to spend my time trying to make myself feel more secure in God's sight. And one of the primary ways I do that is by putting other people down. Anybody's experience? No? Okay. And a hush falls over the crowd, right? So I put other people down, make myself feel better, trying to feel a little more confident. In fact, I'm a good person. man, I'm better than fill in the blank. I don't do those things. You guys feeling me here? We've all done this at one point or another. And Paul's point, of course, in this letter is that none of that's the gospel. None of that is good news. If my standing, if my acceptance with God is based on anything that I have to do, it's not good news, it's terrible news, because I'm going to fail. So the gospel is the only thing that can bring me security. Why? Well, because it is the good news that even while I was still a sinner, Christ loved me and gave himself for me, right? Christ died for me in the midst of my sin, in the midst of my rebellion, that Jesus died for me. The gospel declares that there is nothing I can do to make myself good in God's sight. That there's nothing I can do to meet the standard of God for acceptance, right? That the standard of God's acceptance is not being good. The standard is actually righteous or perfection. And y'all, there's nothing I can do to undo the sin I've done. There's nothing I can do to make myself perfect. The Bible says that no one is righteous, not even one, and that all of my attempts fall short. All of my acts of righteousness are like filthy rags. Now you're going, how does that make you secure? Well, just wait. Because the second half of the gospel is this. It declares that the life and death of Jesus is a gift from God to me. That it's an act of grace, of his great love for us, that while we were still sinners, that Christ came and didn't just die for us, but also lived for us, that Jesus came in the flesh, that eternal God came in the flesh, born of a virgin, that Jesus walked this earth for 33 years without sin, and that as he died on the cross, he declared, "It is finished." He had fulfilled the law, the Bible says, so now there's no condemnation for all my failure of the law, if I've put my faith in him. He's taken that away. He's nailed it to the cross. The Bible declares that he did that. His death on the cross was a payment for my sin and your sin. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So the blood of the innocent Son of God was the once and for all sacrifice for the sins of mankind, for anyone who would believe. And the Bible says this over and over, that everyone who calls upon his name will be saved, that through faith will be born again, that we become a new creation, that Christ, when we believe in him, takes away our sins, but also God then imputes to us, he gives to us all of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his Son. That's eternal righteousness. It cannot be removed. It cannot be taken away. And so when a holy, righteous God now looks upon those that have received Jesus, what he sees is the righteousness of his own Son. And he says to that person, "Come, my son, and be with me." Right? That's how we're adopted into the family of God. So follow me. It's important. If that is the only way to secure my position with God, if that's the only way to secure my position with God, to be accepted by God, if that is the one and only way to be accepted by God, and if that one and only way has nothing to do with my performance, if it has nothing to do with my work, if the one and only way to be right in the sight of God has zero to do with anything that I do, but it is wholly based upon his grace, it is wholly based upon Jesus' perfection, not my performance, if it's all about him and it's not about me, then I can be secure in what he has done. Amen? That's why the Bible declares, even when we're faithless, he is faithful. That's why the psalmist can write, "He won't let my foot," I'm going to put salvation there, "he's not going to let my salvation slip." Because it's not about me, it's about him. And y'all, this truth is meant to be transformative. It's meant to change us. It's meant to change the way we feel about ourselves. Right? Come on, how many of you, all too often, you're like, "Man, I'm such a failure. I'm never going to be good enough for God." So it's meant to change you, but it's not just meant to change you. It's also meant to change your relationships with other people. Verse 26. Paul writes, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another." This word conceited, man, there's a huge problem because our English word does not do the Greek word any justice. So the Greek word here that's used here for conceited means actually two things. It means that I would glory without reason, okay? I would boast, I would glory without reason, but it also means that I would be eager for glory. It's a two-sided coin. It's a double-edged sword. So it literally means that I would glory without reason, or I would be eager for glory. So the word conceited is this double-edged sword, and it has 100%, it has to do with deep insecurity within us. Okay? This word conceited has to do with a deep insecurity within, where we feel the need to either prove ourselves or to compare ourselves. Speaking to anybody yet? So Paul's saying, hey man, you got to get the gospel. It's supposed to make you secure, so you stop doing this. So he literally says, you're either going to provoke one another or you're going to envy one another. So here's how this conceit, here's how this double-edged sword, this deep insecurity where we are either glorying without reason, we're boasting, or we're eager for glory. Here's how that plays out. Either we provoke one another. That word means to challenge, to combat, or to contest. This comes from a place where we need to feel superior. I'm insecure in my relationship with God, so I'm going to make myself feel better. I'm going to have all the answers. I'm going to defeat everyone else. I'm going to be the best person. Look at me. You can't be like me. This is the way that the religious rulers went around and carried themselves. Look at my clothes. I've got it all together. This is the way religion still carries itself. I know more than you know. I dress nicer than you dress. I give more than you give. Look at me, look at me, look at me. It comes from a place of superiority, but listen, deep down is this insecurity. It's works-based, so I've got to be the best so God will accept me. You following me? So that's one way that insecurity plays out. The other way that it plays out, Paul says, is envy, right? Let us not become conceited, envying one another. So this comes from the opposite, from a place of feeling inferior, right? So when instead of wanting or instead of glorying without reason, I'm eager for glory, then I come from this place of inferiority. I never feel like I'm good enough, so I constantly covet the life that other people have. TikTok, Instagram, you name it. I listen to everything. I see how they live. I mean, even their faith. If I could be that way, then I would have it. And it all goes back to this insecurity. Y'all, listen. We can't live out the second greatest command, which is to love our neighbor as ourselves, if we don't get secure in God's love for us. You follow me? If we're now called to be the light of the world, and we are. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, but then he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. He looks at his followers and says, you're the light of the world. Like a city on a hill cannot be hidden. If we are meant to be the light of the world, if we're called to be ministers of reconciliation, but we can't even wrap our minds and our hearts around the fact that we are loved and accepted in Jesus Christ through faith in Christ, that it is done, that it is finished, that I am His, that can't change. If I can't get secure in who God has made me, I can never love people rightly. My insecurity in my relationship with God will drive me either to act superior to people or to envy what they have. Both are grave sin. You follow me? It's a big deal. I love Paul's answer, by the way. It's just the gospel. The answer is just understanding who you are in Christ. Timothy Keller writes this in his commentary on Galatians. He says, the gospel creates a new self-image. It's going to deal with both aspects of this. It's going to humble me before anyone. So anytime I have this desire to feel superior, the gospel is going to go, nope, you're a sinner too, right? It's going to tell me I'm a sinner saved only by grace, but it also is going to embolden me when I want to envy whatever everyone else has. It says it also emboldens me before anyone, telling me that I am loved and honored by the only eyes in the universe that really count. Isn't that awesome? When I understand what Jesus has done for me, when I understand that in Christ, God has fully accepted me, and there is nothing I can do to improve on that, man, that transforms my heart, especially towards other people. So that's the first thing, guys. The security that the gospel brings is meant to transform every relationship and interaction in our lives. Second thing I want to share with you is this, is when we're confident in God's love, and we're aware of our own need for grace, which, by the way, that's the definition of secure. When we're confident in God's love and we're aware of our own need for grace, we are free to help others find peace with God and to bear their burdens with them. Right? So if we get the first point, then we become secure in what Christ has done for us. We become secure in this truth that we are all sinners saved by the grace of God, that we're now cherished by God, that all of our sins have been covered by the eternal righteousness of Jesus once and for all. Our sins are removed. His righteousness is imputed to us. It can't change. I start to understand that God's feelings for me, therefore, are not going to change. I start to understand that I am indeed a new creation, but that new creation is living in the old flesh, which is why sometimes I fail. So when I fail, I don't question God's love for me. I just run to Him and say, God, I failed. And He goes, I kind of knew you would. That's why Jesus came. I go, oh, cool, good plan. And I start to become comfortable in being His child. When I understand His love for me is unchanging, then I become confident in the gospel. And when I'm confident in the gospel, God suddenly can use me to do crazy work in other people's lives. How many of you would like to do that? You're like, I would love to be a positive influence in people's lives, right? Like, I want to bring peace to other people's lives. I want to help hurting people. So this is the key, the security in Christ. Look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 6. Paul writes, brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's burdens, in this way you'll fulfill the law. What is the law of Christ? Love God, love people, okay? So when you do this, you're going to fulfill the law of Christ. It's interesting. He says, you who are spiritual. What does that mean? It means you who get this. You who are secure in the gospel. You who don't question anymore. You who don't feel afraid to run to the Father anymore. You that understand your identity in Christ. You that are spiritual. And then he says, here's what you get to do. Ready? You get to, brothers and sisters, you get to restore a person. You get to restore a person with a gentle spirit. That word restore, ready? It means to set a broken bone back in place. Whoo! Y'all, if we believe in who Jesus has made us, we have graduated from spiritual med school. Let's go. Right? I'm serious. This is the level. You go, man, I want to have a positive influence. I want to be a healing influence in other people's lives. Ready? Then you be secure in who God has made you in Christ. Not in you. By the way, it is in Christ that we find our security. In Christ alone. Right? So when I say that God accepts us in Christ, God does not accept us as we are. That's the gospel, right? As we are, we're unacceptable to God because God's standard is righteous. But in Christ, when I believe in Christ, when I call on Christ, when I say, Jesus, I can't do it. I need you to come into my life. I need you to change me. I need you to do it. When I get to that place, and then when it happens, I believe it. I go, man, it's done. It's finished. I'm a child. I have access. I'm an heir. That's who I am. And when that becomes who I am and I believe that, then I can go out into other people's life. Now I've graduated with a spiritual MD degree. And I get to help set the brokenness in their life right. I get to point them to a way that they can be right. I get to walk into chaos and deep hurt and gently, because I no longer have to be superior and I no longer feel inferior. I get it. And now that I get it, I can gently help them set things right in their life. Isn't that good? Some of you have been wanting to do this and you go, I always feel like I mess it up. Maybe it's because your insecurity and your relationship with God has been the source of that mess up. So we get to restore, we get to set that broken bone back in place. It says, with a gentle spirit, again, I'm not provoking, I'm not envious, filled with deep compassion, I meet them and I don't judge them. Y'all ready? Why? Because of what Christ has done for me. Right? Let's be honest. How many of you, when it comes to deep hurt in others, man, you try not to sometimes, but sometimes you just look at people and go, they are a hot mess. Come on. Two people over here. There's a lot of Pharisees up in this building this morning. Man, we do, right? We're like, man. Sometimes we don't say hot mess. Sometimes we just say they need Jesus. Right? And kind of in saying that, what we're going is, man, listen, we do have the answer, but we're not coming from a superior place. Listen, we go to them. By the way, if you go to them from a superior place, they have tuned you out from moment one. Right? Because y'all did, that's how we responded. Remember, we used to be lost. Right? Now we're found, but when I was lost and somebody came to me and they were all dressed up and they had it right and they looked down to me and they talked like me, like I'm an idiot. They're like, oh, you sinner, sucker, person. God hates you. You're going to hell. Like, I'm just like, well, you know what you can do? Flip that coin back on you, sucker. Right? And I'm done. I'm not listening to another word they say. So I can't come from that place. And y'all, listen, if I'm constantly feeling inferior as a believer, I'm never going to have the courage to talk to them either. I can't come from that place. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Jesus might be the way. I mean, I guess you could try the crystal thing. And pray. Like, what are you doing? Jesus is the only way. And I say that to you because I've had the same deep hurt that you've had. Maybe not the same experience, but I know what it is to try to do it on your own. I know how exhausting that is. I know that you feel so far away. And I'm just telling you, I tried everything, and Jesus is the only thing that fixed my brokenness, right? So I get to speak to them. Now, not only that, not only do I help set really broken things right, but then I also get to help them as they start to try to pursue Christ, which is kind of a cool thing, right? We've got like 20 people in the back room that are involved in some one-on-one discipleship right now. Some of you are like, I could never disciple somebody. Yes, you can. If you follow Jesus, you can disciple somebody. It's amazing, right? And so what does that look like? Ready? So we'll go on. He says, brothers and sisters, if someone's overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit. Then he says, watching out for yourself so that you also won't be tempted. Then he says, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's burdens. I now get to come alongside of others when they feel like they're sinking, right? Because life is rough. Y'all, I cannot tell you how many people I've talked to lately, and they're just like, it's one thing after another. Finances are killing them. It's like, man, and then my fridge broke, and then my car broke, and they're going, I don't understand it. I make more money than I've ever made before, and I take less home. I've got less margin. I feel like I'm right on the edge, and they're just going, I don't know. And then something else happens. It could be something like, not huge, but it just seems like, oh, the world is against me. And the Bible says, then we get to come up alongside of them and go, hey, can I help you with that? We got to get close to them, by the way. But then the Bible says, don't get too close. You got to get close enough you can carry something. Have you ever tried to lift weight from far away? I challenge you. Go get a 10-foot pole and see with the pole if you can pick up an 80-pound bag of concrete from 10 feet away. You can't do it. You're going to fail, right? You got to get close to get up under the weight. So to help somebody, I got to get close. But he says, don't get so close that you fall back into things. So there's this tension here. But that's our call, is to help carry one another's weight. This is, of course, what Jesus talked about, by the way. Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What was the burden of Jesus? To love the Lord, all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind, all of his strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. That's the law of Christ that Paul talks about. We just have to love well. And if we belong to Christ, then our only burden is his burden. Can I say that to you again? Some of you are like, no, that can't be right, Pastor. If you belong to Christ, he exists to carry all of your burdens. Y'all, when I say you're the light of the world, you're the ones that have the answer. You now have a connection to your Creator who can make things out of nothing. You have a connection to God as your Father who has the ability to make a sandcastle and breathe life into it. That's how we got here, right? You have the ability to talk to the God that calls out each star by name and tells the oceans you can only come this far. You have the answer. So act like it, right? Give the burdens to him. Pray. Say, God, this is yours. I got nothing. And when you free yourself like that, then you're free to help others with their burdens. By the way, that's typically the answer to anxiety. When you're anxious about your own life, let me challenge you this. Give that to the Lord and go help somebody else, and you will be amazed how you can sleep at night. Right? Because that's the answer. Loving others, that's the answer. So what do we do with all that, guys? I'm going to give you some application. We'll skip that last scripture. Want to honor time to the best of my ability. Number one, I want to challenge you to receive Jesus and be assured of God's love and acceptance of you in Christ. He accepts us in Christ, not on our own, not by ourselves. Our lives, we're sinful, we're unacceptable. That's why Jesus came. But if we put our faith and trust in Christ, our sin is removed. All of Jesus' righteousness is given to us. God says, I approve. You are mine. So if we'll just believe in Jesus, we can be secure in who we are in God's sight. Second thing, I want to challenge you to preach the gospel to yourself every time you feel yourself, every time you sense yourself feeling superior or inferior. Preach the gospel to yourself. Every time you feel yourself or sense yourself feeling superior or inferior, when you are tempted to talk down to somebody, when you are tempted to judge them, you need to preach the gospel to yourself. I am a sinner saved by the grace of God alone. It changes your mindset. And when you find yourself on the other place, you feel inferior, like I wish I could say something, I feel like I should say something, but I can't say something. You literally go, man, in Christ I'm accepted. I do have the answer. I'm not going to speak to them looking down on them, but I have the ability to speak truth because of what God has done in my life, right? I've got it. I've got what I need. Last thing I want to challenge you is get close to others. Get as close to others as you can without falling. Get as close to others as you can without falling. Why? Because we're supposed to help set things right. Y'all, it is really hard to help set things right from a distance. Love you. It's really hard. You know, if you need a bone set in place, the doctor can't stand on the other side of the room. Say, wait, hey, I'm pretty sure that shoulder's dislocated. You know, little 10-foot pole action. You're going to have to get dirty. You're going to have to get in there. You're going to be close enough you can feel that pain. It's part of it. So listen, guys, the Bible says that we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. The biggest hurt in life in the people that you're praying for, can I just tell you this? The biggest hurt in life in the people that you're praying for, I know you think it's other stuff. We just look at the symptoms, okay? I mean, we do. We're like, oh, okay, so that's it. You know, money's tight. Your marriage isn't great. Your job sucks. Like, we're just like, okay, that's it. That's it. I'm just going to pray. No, the biggest issue beneath all that other stuff is typically they need to be right with God. Okay? That's the biggest issue. And the only way I can speak into that big issue is if I'm willing to get in that space and start to do life with them. And I don't speak from a place up on high, and I don't envy all that I just come to them in humility, and then I can speak to them about Christ. That's why we're here. Guys, we are here to be that to other people. That's why we exist, okay? I say this a lot, y'all. Every week when we end, I was like, hey, you guys should be inviting people to church. Why do we talk about that all the time? Because you're the light of the world. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, we had somebody here last week that came for a family thing, and they came and they gave their life to Christ, and I turned around to the family member and said, awesome, now your family member is going to disciple you. And the family member was, you know, for a moment like, what? And I was like, no, you got this. You got this. Why? Because God put that person in your life on purpose. You're going to be that light to them. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. God wants to use you, but you got to let him. Y'all, we have to be on mission here. We're about to enter into the Christmas season. When we enter into the new year, we're going to do a mission. We're going to do a series called New Year, Same Mission. We're going to talk about why we're called to be here, what we're called to do. And guys, a huge part of that calling is we're called to do this. We're called to be that light of the world, okay? You got to own that. There should never be a week, I mean, unless, like, I'm gone because somebody in my family, I lost somebody and I'm gone for, there should never be a week, unless you're at home sick with COVID, so now I've given you a couple, okay? Unless you have the flu or the stomach bug, okay, I gave you four, that's it. That's it. There should never be a week that you can't invite somebody to join you and to sit by you and to be with you in church that they might hear the truth of the gospel, all right? So I'm going to pray with you this morning. Specifically, I want to start. We're gonna dim the lights just like we have been through the series, and not trying to be emotional. We're not gonna play a bunch of music, but just we want you to have this security in this room so that you don't feel like everybody's looking at you. So if we could dim those lights that other direction, there we go. Man, if you're here this morning, guys, one of the things I talked about is assurance. One of the things I talked about this morning was insecurity. And I said very clearly that if you are trying to make yourself right with God, you can never be secure that you're good enough. And some of you, that's what you were raised in. You were told you needed to be a good person. So you've experienced religion, but you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning, I pray you've heard clearly that the only way we can be acceptable to God is by believing in His one and only Son, Jesus, who came and lived the perfect life that we couldn't, and He died the death that we deserve on the cross. And all we have to do to receive Him is to call on His name and say, Jesus, come into my life and save me. So if you're here this morning and you've heard that and you say, man, I really want that. I want to be a child of God. I want to be secure that God knows me. I want to be secure that if anything happens to me, I'm going to be with God forever in that glorious place I've heard about called heaven. If that's you, nobody's looking around right now. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. But if you're here right now and you say, I want that. I want that kind of security. Would you just raise your hand real quick? Hold it up so I can see it. It's kind of bright up here. Okay? I see you in the back. Anybody else? I'm looking around. Just raise your hand. Just say, yeah, I want that. I want that security. I want to know that I'm a child of God. Okay? I see you, sir. Got one in the middle. I've got one in the back, my back left, back right. Anybody else? Okay. Awesome. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And guys, this is, some people call this the sinner's prayer, though I don't really follow all that. It's just a prayer. There's nothing magic about these words other than we're going to confess that we are not good enough for God on our own. We're gonna confess that Jesus is, and we're gonna ask Him to come and take control of us. Okay, so people are gonna pray around you. We're gonna pray out loud. That's them praying for you. Don't let that feel weird. If you're a Christian, just because you prayed this prayer every week, don't let that confuse you as to when you were saved. That was the first time you said, "Jesus, come to my life." Okay, but we're gonna pray this prayer together. Let's pray out loud. Dear God, I come to you right now, and I just want to confess that I need you. I am a sinner. I've done so many things that I shouldn't. And I realize today there is no way for me to fix it. I heard today that for you to accept me, I have to be perfect. I can't do that. But Jesus, I also heard today that you did. You lived the perfect life I couldn't. And that you want to give it to me if I'll just believe in you. So Jesus, please come into my life right now. Just take control of me. Help me live the rest of my time for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.